Dr. Josh Yellen with the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. Look us up, www.hhp.uh.edu/MAT. We have commandeered the show from Jeremy Jackson. We took this over yesterday. I'm like Pirates of the Caribbean. I took over the ship, and we are in charge. Okay. And we are sailing the Black Pearl. That's what we're doing. And so we're going to go a little bit out of order because we're going to get into some breakout sessions for everybody that's listening. And so in today's presentation, a little bit later down the road around 3 or 3:30, I have to leave a little bit early. So I wanted to interview you.
Okay.
With me to my left is Chris Shattuck. And you can look up this episode at www.sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/Chris Shattuck, S-H-A-D-D-O-C-K, 2016. Chris Shattuck, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, Chris Shattuck, 2016. So, Chris, as always, GQ, I'm going to put up the picture that we took today.
Okay.
And I'm going to tag you on it because when I woke up this morning, I knew I was going to see you. And I thought to myself, I have to outdress Chris. And so I failed. I just can't touch it.
Well, I read today that it was dressed casual. I didn't read that till today.
Yeah, I mean, this is casual for Chris.
No,
I mean, I'm surprised you didn't show up in a tuxedo. But I'm willing to bet that you don't have socks like that.
No, mine are less.
Yeah, you have boring socks. I have to be able to claim mistake in something, so I claim mistake in this. So for everybody that's listening, hopefully Josh Woodall is listening. He was on the show. A little bit ago, we were talking about legal and ethical regulatory concerns in the secondary school setting.
Okay.
And we talked about student aides, and we talked about...
I listened to the show.
Yeah, and we could talk a little bit about that, too. But your talk today is something that I'm passionate about, and it's about administration and promotion of athletic training and your program. And when I think about Chris Shattuck, you know, I think about somebody who is professional, somebody that acts the part and looks the part and can represent our brand the right way and is able to function in the community and, you know, all those incredible things. People need to understand the business of what it is that we're doing. So, Chris, let's just have a little dialogue here.
Well, that's what I go for. You know, that's you are representing yourself and your profession every time you go out there. And I like to say, and I'm going to say it today when I talk later, that you know, being professionalism is not about do's and don'ts. It's about respect for yourself and respect for the people around you.
And so when you really, I mean, let's kind of go back. You've talked to our program before. We're going to bring you back again. And you have some of those do's and don'ts, right, that you talk about. You talk about how to be involved and where to be involved and all those. So let's talk a little bit about... professionalism.
Okay.
Right? So in your mind, Chris, boy, we're here at the Sports Medicine Update.
Right.
This is a professional gathering.
It is.
Right? And we have all sorts of professionals with us. We have physicians, and we have nurse practitioners, and we have PAs, and we have athletic trainers, and we have physical therapists. And, you know, for all those that are listening right now or may go back and listen to this, I'm going to call some of you out, not by name, but, you know, look, I look around, and there are some athletic trainers in shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and that's how they feel comfortable. And really, being professional is about getting out of your comfort zone, you know, representing yourself and your brand. Everybody's got their own brand. If you're dressed down, you're dressed in shorts and a T-shirt at conferences with your colleagues, you know, somebody is gonna affect your future later on, and they're gonna remember you as that person that doesn't care about what they wear, about themselves, and that's how they're gonna represent their brand or your school, or your company.
And so, you know, along those lines, you know, in talking about the brand and talking about the image, you know, one of the topics that you brought up when you came to speak to our program was that athletic training really has an image problem. So
it does. I'm going over that today. Just a lot of points that I talked to your students about, I'm going to hit today. And, you know, when you Google search images, if you Google search medical professionals, you'll see a lot of nice pictures, of nice doctors, you know, nurses, whatever is that picture you're looking at right there. I like to think the lady in the front that's dressed business attire is an athletic trainer. Mm-hmm. But if you search on Google Images, athletic trainer, one of the top 10 images is that one of a girl in shorts and a t-shirt. And
right.
You can see that her clinic in the back is all cluttered with stuff. It's a bad image to have. That's what people think of athletic trainers.
And so, again, you talk about the image that we portray not just in our own environments, right, but the image that we portray to our patients, right? You have some patients that are high school students. You have some that are college or professional. You have some that are police officers and firefighters and some that are astronauts and some that are in the occupational setting and some that are, you know, all of these different things in different places. And we have to be able to, when we talk about image and professionalism, if we're going to live in this village of medicine, right, and that term and that concept is going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger, if we're going to grow, if we're going to live in the village of medicine, then we have to be able to act and behave and speak and look like medicine.
You do.
Right?
You do. I mean, you don't go into a physical therapy clinic or a doctor's office and everybody's wearing shorts and a t-shirt or things are, you know, out of place. Everything's organized and it's clean. And you go in there, it's a medical facility, just like your athletic training clinic is a medical facility.
It's a medical facility. So let's talk a little bit about professional appearance, because you're going to speak about this a little bit later today, and then people are going to be able to access this on, they'll be able to access your presentation, and then hopefully they'll come back and listen to this interview a little bit. And we'd like to be able to probably bring you on some more. So you touch on some things in terms of professional appearance, but there are a few things, like, for instance, professionalism at work. And you know, one of the things that I'll call myself out after listening to your presentation, one of the commitments that I made this year was, you know what, I'm graduate faculty, you know, for a professional program. So the days that I teach, I'm going to do my best to make sure that I'm in a shirt and tie. And that the days that I don't teach and I'm doing admin, with the exception of Fridays, because that's Cougar Red Friday.
Okay.
But the other days, I'm going to make sure that I'm in slacks and a shirt. I've got to be able to represent my brand the right way. I've got to be able to set an example. So you touch on a few points in your PowerPoint about professionalism. What can you talk about some of that now?
Yeah, really, it's just about, you know, looking apart, like you say. That's part of it. Keeping your clinic clean and organized. You never know who's going to come through the doors, okay? My administrators come through the doors every now and then. My superintendent has been through there. And it's all unannounced. If I'm dressed down and my clinic is a mess, what are they going to think of me? They're going to think, this is the guy we have running the show here.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if we want parents seeing that when they come in here to talk about medical issues for their son or daughter.
And so with your staff, right, every time I walk into the Dawson High School athletic training room, It looks put together, it's clean, it's neat, you all have your staff. And what's always amazing to me is that there seems to be kind of some themes that you guys follow. The last time I was there, I think Roderick and Gretchen were in a red shirt, but you were in a blue shirt. I'm not going to start to make judgments
on that. It's red or blue. I've not been allowed to order white shirts until this year, so
okay.
Now I'll have a third color in the mix.
And so it's red or blue or white. And that's what you expect. And so we assign students to your location. We use you as a preceptor. And what are some of those conversations that you're having with the students, right? They come to you either as a first-year MAT student, or they'll be assigned to you for, you know, a semester-long or a year-long assignment as a second-year MAT student. What are some conversations that you're having with them as young people that are, you know, very moldable, very impressionable?
I let them know that, hey, I'd like you to wear slacks. I want our students, our athletes, our student athletic trainers, they're going to dress you as an adult. You're going to be Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so. They're not going to call you by a first name. And we kind of had an issue with that early on, and because they're comfortable being called by their first name.
Mm-hmm.
We had to kind of get over that, had to talk to them, had to talk to our students. Hey, you're not going to address these people. They're adults.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of let them decide for themselves. I let them know, yes, I'd like you to wear this. I'm not saying these are rules. But when they come in that first day, and if they're not wearing slacks like everybody else, then they feel out of place. And they know, okay, this is what I got to do. And that's what I had to do with Roderick and Gretchen, too. You know, I never gave them, these are guidelines. You need to make your own decision
mm-hmm.
And feel comfortable. And you know, they they're professional too, just like me. And I think that might be one of the reasons we hired them. They were super professional.
Yeah, and that's a big component for a lot of people that are out there listening, especially for the young professionals just entering the program. What you're doing now as a student is going to carry over to what you're going to do as a professional. People are going to notice one way or another. They're going to notice. Yesterday morning, you know, Dr. Lowe kicked this whole thing off, and I forget the exact title of his slide or of his presentation, but he had this great thing like, "Don't call me Doc." And that's a little pet peeve of his. And, you know, it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, too, of that, you know, we all have individual names. We are all individuals. So, I one of the things that I kind of cringe at is when an athletic trainer, you know, you are an athletic trainer assigned with a high school, you know, "Hey, coach so-and-so." You're not a coach. You're an athletic trainer.
That's true.
"Hey, Doc," you know, and unless you've earned your doctorate, okay, well, you know, you're not Doc. You know, these are terms that we kind of attached to certain things. And so you talk about kind of know who you are, know what your identity is. What are some things that you implement at Dawson? And I'm going to keep on using Dawson as an example. My apologies to other high school athletic trainers. I'm sure Brian, not Brian, he's in Bryan ISD. I'm sure Josh Woodall at Bryan ISD. I'm sure your athletic training rooms are probably pretty similar.
I imagine they probably are.
Because you all trained together in the beginning.
Right.
And then you came down here.
Correct.
You know, tell us a little bit about your policy, about identity. They're going to address you as Mr. or Mrs.
Right.
You, to everybody, you're Mr. Shattuck.
Correct. And that's just as part of it. Our students, our student athletic trainers right away, when we kind of go over our policies, everybody needs to have some set guidelines of what rules they should follow. They're going to address somebody as Mr. or Mrs. or doctor or coach, mm-hmm. or, you know, they're going to be respectful, because even that athletic training student aide, they represent you. Mm-hmm. What they're wearing, if they're wearing some real Hoochie Mama shorts and a t-shirt and they're going to work a game for me, that's not going to look good for me. People are going to look at Dawson High School and say, that's what they're letting them do over there. Mm-hmm. So they have a dress code of practice and of games. We don't keep them around. We'll give them maybe two strikes and then you're gone. Because if you're going to be making me look bad, I'm not going to keep you around.
Yeah. I mean, you're wearing my company logo, right? That's my brand.
Exactly.
And that's one of the conversations that I have with our students is that UH that's on your chest, that's my company. That's
correct.
My brand. And so the example I always give is, boy, let's say you get hired by Toyota and you show up in a Honda shirt. What do you think is going to happen?
You're not going to be there very long.
You're probably going to get fired. And so then you talk about, okay, this identity, make sure that you secure your identity. But really, it's kind of like, you know, who you know, right? And how can you use those relationships to leverage what it is that you want to accomplish? It's about marketing and promotion.
It is. The better you can make yourself look and the more people you can surround yourself that believe in your brand, the more ability you're going to have to get things that you want. You're going to come into situations. Every situation you go into is not going to be perfect. You might like that situation. It's better than your last one, but it's never perfect. So how can you make it better? And you really need to be evaluating that on a yearly basis. How can we make things better? How can we make ourselves better? And one way to do that is to market yourself. And if you do that, you surround yourself with good people, then you're going to get things you want accomplished done. If you want an additional athletic trainer, you need more higher salary. If they believe in what you're doing, they mm-hmm. say, yes, he makes us look good, they're going to be more than willing to help you.
And this is really kind of about the business. You know, it falls into that fifth practice domain. And that fifth practice domain in this last cycle of the exam represented only 12% of the BOC exam, right? So that meant that, 88% is really about clinical application, right? And then you've got this 12% that really falls in this fifth practice domain. Right now, it's organizational health and well-being and professional development. And it's going to change the seventh practice analysis into healthcare administration and professional development. And it's really about the business of what we're doing. And, it's going to go to 13% of the exam. So 87% clinical application, 13% billing, marketing, leadership, you know, all those different things. And it's a small percentage. And people don't seem to totally connect all the dots of how important this is. And it needs to start at a very young you know, with young professionals and for those that are involved in the clinical practice in these different settings. So tell us some of the strategies that you've used at Dawson High School, because you have been pretty successful. I mean, you came in with, my understanding is you came in one contract form, right? You're a teacher with a stipend. You changed that over to administrative. Is that right?
I believe when I came into Pearland, it was teacher plus a stipend and extra days. Mm-hmm. And I really wasn't on the end of changing that. I think when I got there, that was already kind of in the process. Mm-hmm. But they got it changed to administrative. And I'm not saying there's good and bad for both. Mm-hmm. Especially if you like being in a classroom, there's several things you're doing in a classroom. You know, a teacher might be a way to go. Just make sure you're getting compensated for those extra days and that extra time. Administrative, they can't put us in the classroom. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of administrative duties. I think that, you know, when we do, say, a lightning policy, mm-hmm. that's not just for athletics. That's for the entire district.
And that goes into, you know, Dr. Long, Melissa Long was on here before about the coordinated school health. You know, part of that policy, like lightning policies. Environmental action plans, heat illness policies, right? So a lot of what's happening and what you're talking about and what she talked about, boy, there's a lot of overlap there.
Okay.
And I mean, it's pretty impressive about what you all are doing. So let's stay on some of the other things that you've done at Dawson High School, because if I'm not mistaken, you are an NATA. They designate these schools like you are a safe school.
Sports school. Yes.
Yeah. So talk about the process that you went through.
When this first came out, you know, I didn't know if I wanted to do this, because you do. There's a fee. There's like a $150 fee, okay?
And who paid it? You?
So we pay it out of our activity account.
Okay. Right? Dawson High School pays for this.
Dawson High School paid for it. There's a list of guidelines that you have to follow, some criteria. You check a box. Do you do this? Yes. Do you do this? Yes. Okay, we do everything on the list. So that makes us a Safe Sports first team school. There's mm-hmm. also a second team. I guess there are a few things that are not checked, maybe you're on the second team. Mm-hmm. But I didn't agree with it at first because you're paying to get this, whatever this title is, this Safe Sports School mm-hmm. Award. But the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, if we meet this criteria, and then my principal signs off on that, yes, we do these things. This is going to get us some recognition and help.
It's great marketing and promotion
of
your program, right?
I thought that, and I thought, okay, we're going to time it up for National Athletic Training Month this year, and that's whenever we received the award was March, mm-hmm. To kind of tie it in with everything else that we were doing.
And so it goes back to being involved, right? So at Dawson High School, we're going to have a code of professional conduct where this is the way we're going to act, this is the way we're going to dress, this is where we're going to address people, this is the way we're going to speak, right? This is how we're going to promote our brand. This is what we want to be able to represent, not only from Dawson, but for athletic training as a whole. And so, you know, people really want to be able to make their situations better. And that leads me into my next question, get involved. You've been very involved.
Been involved. And I wasn't always involved. I think the first few years when I was an athletic trainer, trying to find my way, I was at a SWATA meeting. Josh and I were sitting in the...
Josh Woodall, SWATA president.
Correct.
Yeah.
We were sitting in the Texas forum for SWATA. And we were listening to, I can't remember who stood up. I think it might have been Randy Matthews. And he just yelled at us and said, there was a vote, and I think maybe less than 10% of people, SWATA members, voted. Mm-hmm. And he went off on us and saying how this is unprofessional and y'all are doing it wrong. And I really took that, and I said, you know what, he's right. I need to get involved. I need to do more. Josh and I talked about it, and that's what we decided to do, is just kind of get involved and see where it leads us. And so our first thing we did was we did our own website for Bryan High School, and then we had an opportunity to do a Texas State Athletic Trainer Association website. Mm-hmm. So we took that on together, and we kind of kept it updated, and it kind of evolved from that, really.
And then from that point on, you know, Josh went one path, you went another, right? Josh now SWATA president.
Correct.
And doing some great things in that organization. And then you took some other paths, right? You got involved in some other things. So what are some of the leadership positions that you've had?
So I'm a parliamentarian on the SWATA board.
Yep.
Robert's
Rules of Order.
Right. It's boring, real boring, but you hopefully can keep the meeting moving a little bit. Mm-hmm. Quicker. Another thing that I'm coming off of this year is the scholarship committee mm-hmm. for SWATA. Mm-hmm. And then after I did, I guess right in the beginning, we did the TSATA website. I moved to Houston, and there was an opportunity for me to take over the Jihad's website, so I did that. And I got a call from the SWATA district director at the time, Brian Conway, said, hey, there's a vacancy. Somebody had left a public relations chair for SWATA, which also makes you a member of the NATA Public mm-hmm. Relations Committee. Would you like to do that? I said, well, I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. When I got there, I had really no information, so I had to kind of create what are we going to do as a public relations committee. And
right.
I think that really helped me learn how to market myself and kind of, you know, my program, who we are.
And so for all those that are listening, right, you've got some athletic trainers that have been out there practicing for a while, maybe some new athletic trainers, maybe some students who just graduated or entering the profession. Give us two or three nuggets that we can walk away from that are important to you, right? What would you want people to know?
If you're coming out, you need to get involved right away. I think one of your students, Will Ryan, he's doing it right. He's involved when he's a student. He's on the student senate. He's looking at ways to get involved when he becomes certified, which I hope is
pretty soon.
Right now,
pretty soon. He took the test.
Okay.
I mean, they all took the test. The exception of one, right? We're all within a couple of weeks. We should know.
Kind of my pet peeve is you can't complain about your profession if you're not getting involved and trying to make changes and try to make things better. So you need to get involved. You can't complain about it. If you're okay with the status quo, then go on doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said earlier, is you're going to come into every situation, every job you have. You might like it, but it's not going to be ideal. How can you make it better? So I think. Getting involved right away, even getting on a committee that, you know, people don't pay attention to, and just being a member on it and seeing how things work, you can help move our profession in the right way, in the right direction.
And what's one other thing, right? So get involved, make sure you stay involved.
Looking professional.
Look the part.
Market your brand.
Market the brand. Know the definition of a certified athletic trainer and know those practice domains.
And get to know people. Just shake some hands, talk to people. If you see a circle of people talking, go get in there and talk to somebody.
Grip and grin, right?
Yeah.
Grip and grin. Any last words of wisdom for us, Mr. Shattuck?
It is about who you know. Somebody tells you otherwise, they're lying.
It's about who you know. It's about making connections, making sure you can get to the right place. You know, it's that quote, I think it's by the Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Edison, if I'm able to see farther, it's because I stand on the shoulders of giants. That guy right there is one of the giants. He really is. So look his interview up, his broadcast up, www.sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/ChrisShattuck2016 for the Sports Medicine Broadcast. This is Dr. Josh Yellen for the University of Houston Master of Athletic Training Program. Look us up, www.hhp.uh.edu/MAT. And we will be back soon with our next guest, Mr. Shattuck. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.